Chapter 6. Jail. The next thing I can remember was the melodious sound of my brain throbbing behind my eyeballs. It came on slow at first, kind of worming its way in from the side. Just blackness and floating, laying in some sort of soft cradle. It seemed I floated in that cradle for minutes and years. And then there was this discomfort somewhere deep, not from a place on or in my body at first, but from a place somewhere far away in the blackness. I was the blackness, as if my body had been left behind, and being without my body wasn't such a bad thing. I was sure I wouldn't miss it. But the blackness was all I had left to me, and it was starting to hurt. Some sort of pain, both dull and sharp, as if it had not yet decided what it wanted to be, only knew it wanted to keep getting louder. And before long, the blackness wasn't so wonderful anymore. The pain grew louder, slowly, until it stopped being something I thought I could hear. I realized that now, having rediscovered my body, and that my body was still there attached to me, I could feel it. I could feel where it was coming from, at the bottom of my skull. And like that, I could feel something beneath me. It was hard and square, with many knotty lumps running all along it, digging into my head, my shoulders, my back, my ass, my legs. The pain kept getting worse. And after a while, it made my stomach wake. My stomach began to turn and roll, flipping over on itself. And I thought I could feel its contents sloshing around inside. It made my tongue kink into the back of my throat, and I could feel my neck forcing itself open, opening up on its own regardless of whatever I asked it to do, and I knew the feeling wasn't going to leave then. My body was preparing to purge, whether I was there to help it or not. I felt around with my hands. I could feel them shaking as they stretched out, and I rushed the search, knowing my stomach wasn't going to give me a lot of time. Looking was not yet an option. I had not remembered that I had eyes at this point, and if I had, I'm sure I would not have remembered how to open them. Along one side, my left side, I felt a barrier cold and hard that seemed to run for as long as the thing I was laying on. On my right side, there was only open air. I reached down with my arm and still found only air. I was elevated off the ground, whatever it was. I supposed I must have been on some sort of cot or table. I'd have to swing my legs off then. Eventually, I got them moving, which did my stomach no favors at all, threw them over the side and pushed into a sitting position. This took my stomach from annoyed to pissed off in a hurry, and I began to dry heave right there. There is nothing like a good vomit to bring you back to reality. It's like a blast of cold water straight to the mind, that instant all-consuming need to heave, the creaking of the ribs, the gagging, the salivating and spitting, the hot burn of the body's putrescence blowing up and out your throat. It goes from discomfort to something like the end of the world, immediately and without little warning. And it's all you can do to hold on. Get it all into some sort of receptacle and not fill your trousers full of shit in the process. As it was for me that morning, I'd not yet determined if I was wearing trousers. There had only been the blackness, then the pain, then the mind erasure of the heaving. I don't know how long it went on. Far too long, if you ask me. I thought I heard someone speaking as I sat there and gagged, but I wasn't sure. Sometimes when you strain hard enough, you hear all kinds of crazy shit. And after it's all over, you learn you were alone the entire time. I ignored whatever it was I thought I heard, and focused on the loosening of my guts, which had finally commenced, praised them all thrice over. My throat unlocked and I could breathe again, and the air was cool and clean. It felt wonderful as it went through my throat, which was still burning like fire. It felt as though I'd drunk fire somehow, as if I'd found a way to make fire pour like a liquid and guzzled it all down before it could remember to flicker up into the sky again. It was at this point I remembered I had eyes. I opened them, or tried to. They stuck together as if glued. so I spread them apart with my fingers. There were my legs, dutifully attached to my body, thanks Seeksneet. The floor appeared to be composed of large gray stones, and between my feet I saw there was nothing, not even a small puddle of drool. So whatever heaving I'd done had been fruitless. That was bad news. It has always been a truth that if I vomit and a great deal of material is expelled, there's a good chance I'll feel much better after, and will continue to feel better for the rest of the day, as long as I take it easy. But if my body tries to vomit and there is nothing at all to have out, I'll keep feeling miserable, and the heaving will continue for a long time after. Seeing nothing between my feet but the stones of the floor told me what kind of day I had ahead. I wanted to lay back down and forget about it, but I didn't think my stomach could take the adjustment.
Do you think you've finished?
I closed my eyes again and panted for a while. Who is that?
That hurts, Udo.
I cracked an eye and looked up. It appeared to be Geffen, the jailer of Plotzdorf. I continued to stare at him to be sure. There was a wall of bars between us.
Geffen? I asked. There we go.
How long?
Not so long this time. They brought you in last night. Late enough they had to wake me up.
I burped, I think. I wanted to get up and look for my shirt, but I didn't think I could manage it.
There anything to drink?
He held a cup through the bars. I took it, pulled some into my mouth, swirled it around, and when I finally figured out what was wrong with it, I opened up and let it fall out onto the floor.
Oh, that's unnecessary, Geffen observed.
You're trying to poison me.
The water's quite clean, Udo.
I held the cup out. Put something in there I can drink, can't you? I felt him take it and let my hand drop.
I'll mix it with a bit of wine, but that's it. We need to get some water into you.
Fucking witchcraft, I muttered.
It's only water.
It's an excellent way to get sick, Geffen. You shit yourself until you die, maybe. Now, by hell, you keep that poison away from me. He held the cup through the bars again. I could smell the wine he'd added and looked closely at it.
He said, come on, take it. That's half and half. Whatever you're afraid of in the waters being killed by the alcohol right now.
I took a drink, and it was not horrible. I watched as Geffen stepped away from my cell and sat down at a table. I could see some cheese and bread sliced up on a board, and when he popped a slice into his mouth, I looked away quickly.
Well, you seem to have kicked up a touch of fuss down at the dog last night, Geffen said.
Is that what I seem to have done?
Aye, seems so. Remember any of it?
I thought about it. It was hard to find my way back through the blackness to the night before. I recall shouting, and I think I took a swing at someone, but my words tapered away. I could not remember much.
Well, yeah, knocked out two of Luder's teeth. That's for starters.
Oh, good, I said. I was afraid he'd had me for free.
Had you for a fair price, anyway. How's your ear?
I can't tell. Everything hurts too much.
Well, maybe that's a blessing, then. You'll see what I mean, though, if you find a mirror anywhere.
I was never pretty, I grunted. I took a drink.
Less so now.
I said nothing back. About the only way to make me look any worse would have been to beat the symmetry out of my face. It didn't feel as if I'd been beaten that badly, so I guessed I'd go back to looking like me before long.
Then you took a shit on the building.
I what?
And not squatted with your back against the wall, either. Apparently you dropped your britches, bent over, pressed your asshole into the wall, and frosted it like a pastry.
No, I began to laugh.
Then I guess you took up a handful of it and smeared your name over the door.
I laughed harder.
Oh, only thing I ever learned to spell... Fucking name. Well, I tell you, sick fuck, Luder sure didn't find the humor. Think he aimed to kill you?
He missed, I said.
I made him miss. I glanced at Geffen's hands. The knuckles along each were red and raw-looking. One of his hands seemed to be dyed, and I understood he'd done a half-assed job of washing some blood off. I saluted him with my cup and took a drink. I looked at my own hands a moment then and said, "These don't look like the hands of someone who scrawled his name in shit. Cleaned you up a bit." I nodded. "That was in excess of the duties of your office, Geffen. Thank you."
Ease off the man love there, Udo. I only dunked you in the Ruhr."
I thought about the body floating down the river and shuddered. I suppose it was good enough that I couldn't remember anything. "Well, thanks anyway. It's never fun waking up caked in your own shit."
"Couldn't say myself."
"Well, you're better at this than I am." I drained the cup, set it on the cot, and waited to see what my stomach would do. When it seemed as though the mixed wine would be staying at least a little while, I asked, "So, what now?"
"Been a-waiting for you to come to so we could discuss it. You made too much noise, Udo. Disturbed too many people. I'll have to punish you a bit."
I sighed. "Lashes in the square?
Sure, that's one thing we can do."
"Oh, I have a choice?"
"Well, Udo, the problem is this. If I lash you in the square, that debt'll be paid, and by law, you'll be allowed to stick around. People round here would like to see you gone a while, though. So you have your choice. Lashes or exile?"
"How many lashes?"
"Oh, the usual 12, I'd guess."
"Uh-huh. How long in exile?"
"A year."
"Fine, I'll take the exile."
"Oh, good then," Geffen said. "I hate that lash."
"You're too soft for this job, Geffen."
"It's what you want. Soft man'll be fair, hard man'll kill you more often than not."
"Might be what I need."
Don't speak that way, Udo. It brings me low when you do."
"Fine, Geffen, fine, you win. What happened to my shirt?"
"Drying outside. Want it back?"
"Is it dry?"
"Yeah, should do."
"Let's have it then." Geffen let himself out the front door of the jail, and I sat there on the cot waiting, hands braced against the frame. My elbows quivered, and I felt my mouth go from wet to dry over and over again. He came back a few moments later and handed me my shirt through the bars. It was stiff from having dried on the line, so I kneaded it around in my hands before pulling it back on. My stomach sloshed around like a bucket of slop, and I kept having to stop and wait a while for it to calm down. It took me a long damn time to get that shirt back on. "Do I have to head down the road this minute?" I asked.
"You want to sleep some more?"
"I sure could use it."
"Go ahead then. You're in a cell. They won't mind."
I thanked him and lay back down. The world has a different personality by day than it has by night. You don't quite understand it at first, and you'd be hard-pressed to express the feeling in words, but you notice the difference early. You remember understanding how different the two are, a memory going as far back as you can recall. It's the same reason we all ran from darkness when we were children. Walk down a hallway during the daytime, for instance, when Sunna's light exposes everything and makes it safe, when all the cracks and crannies are visible and sensible. That same hallway by night is buried in shadow, hidden, and unknowable. There could be anything behind that darkness, watching silently, waiting for you to turn your back so it can reach out with a clawed hand and grasp your shoulder. All children know what it's like to run away from the darkness at the end of the hall, and all drunks know what it's like to look at the hidden mystery of a town by night when all of the dull folk have toddled off to bed and the oil lamps are happily spitting fire and the music is playing in the nightlife districts. There's fighting and fucking in the back alleys, dice and cards at the tables of the public houses. We all understood that feeling. We understood how wonderful it was to have neither past nor future, that there was only the present now, that the present now was only as complicated as the next drink, the next fight, the next game, the next song, the next fuck. And all drunks know the feeling of the town on the next morning.
Zintgund, whose silver light is beautiful and helps to spawn the illusion of the evening, has given way again to the hot, unforgiving power of her brother, Sunna. I guess now that there are some new cults out there that teach Zintgund and Sunna are one and the same. That there is only the single god with two different faces, and that our ancestors have created a fiction by dividing the god into two different bodies. I don't know if I believe this. It seems the only evidence for this new claim is that the throne never moves, but it seems to me there's more than enough room for two within it. I'd see it every day when the clouds were thin, due south of my little village, Sunna's and Zintgund's shared throne. It was damn far away, but I'm certain it never moved. The seat of the day god and the night god never moved, and even at that great distance it seemed enormous to me, suspended out in the center of Erda by the heartstrings. The day was a punishment as Geffen escorted me back to the north edge of town. Sunna's light was high, exposing everything where it was not, throwing long shadows along the paving. Men and women were bustling about, sweeping out their stoops, churning butter, cutting down lumber, crying their wares, plucking duck carcasses, wringing hot iron, selling their harvests. Children darted all about, chasing each other or chasing stray cats, dodging cartwheels and watchmen alike, calling to each other in their high musical voices, hands darting for passing purses, purses of the unwary lifted, deservedly so, and everywhere they went it was at a mad, laughing run. I moved through daylight Platzdorf in a fog, feeling as though I looked at a false image of the town. It was so rare I was conscious enough to see the town in this state, at this time of day. I was nearly always sleeping off the last night in a flophouse somewhere. Daylight Platzdorf seemed to me an ill-mannered, ill-trained animal full of strange smells and stranger behaviors. Geffen walked along with me, like I said. My hands weren't bound up, which I thought was rather nice, but he kept close to my side, and every so often I felt his hand at my elbow. I always hated to be touched, but I didn't mind it so much with Geffen. I understood he was grasping my elbow for the benefit of those who watched us pass, as if he was signaling to them that he had me under control, that they need not fear. I was grateful to him for finding some method to put them all at ease that didn't involve binding my hands and putting a sack over my head. My purse hung from my neck and pressed against my belly, hidden beneath my shirt, and as empty as a husband's scrotum. To this day, I don't know what happened to the rest of my money. I know I had plenty of it when I crossed the floor to Luder, at least enough to drink my way across the next few weeks. But when I woke up in Geffen's cell, it had all disappeared. It was obvious I'd been rolled. Geffen never would have taken the money himself. He was far too honest. A failing I made sure never to hold against him. Mostly, I think, because it usually worked in my favor. I think at times his life might have been easier if he'd just suffocated me in my sleep and pitched me into the Ruhr. It's not like I would have been missed back then. By hell, back then I might have thanked him for it. He walked me out to the edge of town, then a little way beyond, until we passed the first bend in the road and could speak without the eyes of the citizens upon us. He looked me up and down a few moments and shook his head slowly. "Sorry about your money there, Udo." "You didn't take it." "No, but sorry all the same." He held out a covered blanket. I took it. "That's some bread in there," he said, "for the walk. There's a skin, too." "Wine?" "Nah, swatter." I winced and peeked under the cloth. "You need water, Udo. You must give your body a chance to heal." "I'm not sick. There's nothing wrong with my body." Geffen nodded, but he looked sad. "That you think this is normal is the sickest of all." "Fine," I said, hoping he'd shut up. I uncorked the skin and smelled the contents. The water seemed murky and full of silt. "This shit makes me sick when I drink it," I said. "It's a false sickness. Your body's convinced it wants something else, only what it wants is no good. Have that water. 'Twon't kill ya." I nodded so he'd climb down. And we shook hands, and I thanked him for giving me such an easy pass.
As I turned north and began the walk home, he called to me. We'll see you in a year's time, Udo. Please, not before. If you come back before a year, they really will make me whip you. I waved at him. Try Landshut, he called. Another day's walk, due southeast from here. I waved again. I knew the town. It was all right, but their whores were mediocre. So, 1 year. Platzdorf was now off limits for 1 year. I sighed and wondered how much money I'd spent in that town over the years. All the times I'd gone there to clear my head. They never turned their noses up at my money. The cunts. I wondered how much money I'd have to earn before they stopped looking at me like I was a cold shit on the roadside. I wondered if Dittmar's Royal Mint could ever strike enough marks to make those looks go away, and decided that even if marks were struck from iron, there wasn't enough metal in all of Erda. And I was out for 1 year. I began to think about the nature of a year as I walked, and wondered why a year was a year. 360 days composed of 12 months, each of which was composed of 30 days. A day itself was only described by a yielding of dominance from Sunna to Zintgund back to Sunna. And at some point long ago, someone decided that a single day was made up of 24 hours, though I couldn't tell you why. Just as at the time I couldn't say why a month must have been 30 days, always, or why 12 months must make a year. I didn't know why it was necessary to keep track of the years, or the times in between the years. One day seemed as good as any other to me, and the best I could make out was that we'd all agreed to track the time in the way we did so that we would know when our birthdays were coming around. That was an answer that made sense to me, at least. It made sense why everyone else spent so much time thinking about 1 month coming after the next, 1 year coming after the other, and what number they should assign to each year. They all knew the day on which their birthday fell. I hadn't the first clue regarding mine. And so every day was for me exactly the same, and the only difference that really mattered was if I was sober or happy. I know now why the days, months, and years are metered out as they are, of course. The gods decided long ago that it should be so. They told me as much when I asked them.